Welcome to the Biblical Languages Podcast, brought to you by Biblingo. I'm Nick Messmer, your co-host, along with Kevin Grosso, and in this episode, we're asking the question, who killed Deponency? So the title of this podcast episode comes from actually the title of a session at the SBL conference about 10 years ago that was called We Killed Deponency, Now What? And that actually was a reference to a session at the SBL conference in 2010 where four scholars were on a panel discussion and basically all agreed that the category of deponency in Greek studies ought to be abandoned. And so we're going to be talking about that in this episode. On the topic of the SBL conference, Kevin and myself, along with some of the rest of our team at Biblingo, will be at the SBL conference coming up this week. And so we're going to have a booth. And so if you're there, we'd love if you stop by. We'd love to meet any of our listeners that are going to be at the SBL conference. So with that, let's dive into the episode. To start off, just to give a little bit of background on deponency, because I think our listeners will have kind of varying degrees of familiarity with the concept, I was going to read actually from Merkle and Plummer's Beginning with New Testament Greek, where they give, I think, a pretty concise kind of overview of the situation. So I'm going to just read a little section from Merkle and Plummer's book where they talk about deponency. So they say, some verbs, however, have no active form. Many older grammars refer to these as deponent verbs. The word deponent comes from the Latin verb depono, which means I set aside. Deponency, then, is the idea that all verbs began with an active form, but that some verbs became defective and laid aside their active form. Consequently, it is thought that deponent verbs are middle or passive in form, but are active in meaning. They go on to critique this idea, but they're presenting that as kind of the understanding of deponency for at least a long time in Greek studies. So what are your thoughts on that understanding of deponency, Kevin?
Yeah, so I think that's a pretty good like orientation to some of the issues that people have been discussing. I think my sort of take on it, right, is, just coming from more of the linguistic side, just that deponent. So deponency can really be viewed in one of two ways, right? It can be viewed as a certain semantic category that verbs might fit into, right? So and this is really the definition that Merkle and Plummer gave, right? So it's verbs that have a certain form but a different meaning, right? So in that sense, they would have a middle form or a passive form, but what you know the claim is would be they would have an active meaning, right? So that's one way to view the idea of deponency. Another way to view it would be that it's a morphological category and not a semantic category at all, right? And so in that sense, it would be based on the forms. So it would be verbs that have a middle or passive form and do not have a corresponding active form, right? And so, and in that definition, you're not saying anything about the meaning of the actual, of these, this class of verbs. You're just saying that there is no corresponding active form. So there are lots of these verbs in Greek, erchomai, poreomai, bulomai. So some of these verbs had active forms in earlier stages of the language, right? But for whatever reason, they dropped out. And so when you look at it, in Koine specifically, these verbs, don't have active forms.
Right. So yeah, two ways to kind of view deponency: the kind of semantic, as a semantic category, you're saying that deponent verbs are middle in form but active in meaning. Or if you view it more as a morphological category, you're just saying that there are some verbs that only have middle forms and don't have active forms. Really, that the morphological category is like undeniable, right? Like there are verbs that that have middle forms and don't have active forms. Whereas if you want to argue for the semantic category, it is something you have to actually argue for. But as a morphological category, it's just like, this is a class of verbs that exist and we have to do something with them. But with the conversation, those two issues seem to kind of be conflated together to some degree. So like, for example, Merkel and Plummer in that discussion don't really distinguish between those two issues.
Yeah. And I think that's part of the issue of what's going on now, right? Is that it has been assumed that, you know, the definition of deponency is the semantic definition, right? And because that definition is, some people say, incorrect, right? Then we should get rid of the term deponent, right? My personal thinking in this is that all that needs to change is just a reorientation from the semantic definition to the morphological definition. Because at the end of the day, there is a class of verbs, call them whatever you want, right, that are middle only, right? Mm-hmm. And so the issue is, you know, we need a term for that, right? And I think, you know, you can go back to the Latin in deponent and figure out what it means and then figure out whether that fits. But honestly, the fact that it is Latin and the fact that no one uses the word deponent in regular speech makes it a great technical term, right? Because, you know, you shouldn't, for technical terms, we can just make them mean whatever we want them to mean, right? We don't really have like very strong associations of meaning with the term deponent.
Right.
So we can just say, hey, let's refine this category of deponent to say, you know what, maybe the semantic definition is not correct, right? If it's not, and maybe it's just a morphological phenomenon, right? For some other reason.
So let me read again from Merkel and Plummer, where they kind of give another concise overview of kind of where the field has gone with this. So they say, recent Greek scholarship favors laying aside the category of deponency itself, which had to be an intentional pun with the idea of laying aside. And they go on to say, the majority of Greek scholars contend that we should understand the middle voice as the ancient Greeks did, rather than fitting it into our English language or Latin language categories. So-called deponent verbs are better viewed as middle-only verbs. That is, some verbs have no active voice because, to ancient Greeks, the activity these verbs describe was inherently subject-affected in a way that demanded they be marked by middle voice endings. So, again, kind of going back to what you were saying, like, they describe the field as laying aside the term deponency because of the issue with kind of the semantic understanding of deponency. And so your point is just that even if we disagree with that semantic category of deponency being verbs that have an active meaning but a middle form, even if we think that's incorrect, that doesn't mean we should lay aside the term deponency, because we could just use deponency to mean middle verbs with middle forms and not active forms.
Right. And that is actually, you know, how the people in linguistics that I have read that are doing this, that's how they use the term deponent, because they know that the, you know, semantic definition is just incorrect, right? And so the paper, here's a paper by Kaufman, Ingrid Kaufman, on middle voice in a very reputable journal called Lingua. And she says, this is like the second line in the paper. First, there are middle-marked verbs for which no corresponding active verb form exists, i.e. the so-called deponent verbs or media tantum. And she goes on to talk about, you know, the different, you know, ways that deponent has been used, right? And but she says something interesting in the next line. Since there is no corresponding active form, the media tantum or deponent verbs cannot be analyzed as derived forms, but have to be regarded as base forms, i.e. as middle stems. Interestingly, the media tantum typically belong to certain semantic classes, which means they're not accidental language-specific lexicalizations. So the point in this, right, is that whatever we want to call these things, right, which really doesn't matter at all, they're not accidental, right? They form a coherent semantic class that you can see across languages behaving in a very similar way.
Right, right. And so that kind of connects with the chapter in Campbell's book, where basically it's on deponency, and he basically just gives kind of a historical overview of how Greek scholars have engaged, or really like critiqued, the idea of deponency over the years. And so it's just kind of a historical like breakdown of significant people who have critiqued deponency. And basically all of them take issue with that semantic understanding of deponency, which I think we agree is a problematic, you know, understanding. But the way that the chapter concludes is really twofold. One is that we need to get rid of the term deponency. And so that's what the four scholars on the panel at SBL in 2010 concluded, is that we should ditch the term deponency. But then the second takeaway is that more work needs to be done on this set of verbs that are middle only, that only have middle forms and not active forms. So it's kind of like, yeah, what the field is doing with it is a little bit counterintuitive, because we're acknowledging like there is this set of verbs that kind of fall into this morphological category, and we need to figure out why they do. But we're going to throw away the term that we've been using to refer to them easily, because like, you know, we don't like how that term has been used in the past. So again, like the term deponent, like, doesn't actually matter all that much. The point is just that we need a term to refer to this group of verbs because they are significant, you know? And Campbell acknowledges that there's a lot of work to be done with that set of verbs. But it's like, if we don't call them deponent, what are we going to call them, you know? So, yeah.
Right. And again, you know, I mean, I think part of the issue, like, when you do read, you know, like, Campbell's chapter, it sounds as if the term is the problem, right? At times, right? But who cares, right? I mean, the term doesn't matter. You know, it just doesn't matter what we call them. What is important is how we define it, right? And then, you know, even more importantly, right, once we come up with this cohesive category, right, how do we characterize it semantically? You know, mm-hmm. why? The big question of, like, why do these verb forms exist, right? Mm-hmm. And how does, you know, voice interact with verbs in general, right? And I think this is where, you know, like, if you look historically, like, the whole problem with deponency, with the semantic definition, has just been that our definition of active and middle and passive voice has just not been very good, right? And so active is typically described as a verb, you know, where the subject is doing the action or something like that. Well, that makes the problem is that makes reference to a certain type of event, right? One where someone is doing something, right? So states don't really fit well into that definition, despite the fact that in Greek, right, you have a verb like peino, right, where I'm hungry is active, right? Active morphology, right? So why does that state appear in the same, you know, active voice as trecho, like to run, right? It means that our definition of like what is active voice, right, isn't very active. And so then should we get rid of active because it's not, right? I mean, but the issue is, right, we need to refine our category of what active really means, right? Active actually does not mean that the subject is active in some, you know, sort of like, some sort of way, you know, he's like doing something in the world, right? It really depends on the nature of the verb, right? That gives you the type of event that's being referred to. And then the same thing with middle, right? The problem was that our definition just wouldn't allow for things, you know, that were middle only, right? Or that were deponent. And so then we said they're active in meaning, but really our definition of middle, you know, semantically should have been based on on what forms were middle morphologically to begin with, right? So in that sense, you know, there should have never been a mismatch, Because the only way we would define middle is by the morphology, is by the morphology that we see, right? And we, so we take a, we look at all the morphology, all the middle verbs, and we say, like, what does this class have in common, right? And that's the, that should be the definition we give.
Yeah, yeah. I was just going to just have a specific example, Merkel and Plummer here, and not to, like, I think these are common understandings of voice, but they give a definition of active voice. The subject performs the action. And if you look, so for passive, they have the subject receives the action. And the example you give of, like, being hungry, see, you know, like, it does seem more like you're receiving that than performing it.
Right. You know, or it doesn't fit. The problem is it doesn't fit that definition.
Fit. Yeah.
Right. And so again, like, are we going to get rid of active as a term? We should, under this sort of, like, theory of, like, our terms should perfectly match, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it goes back to something we've talked about a lot. Just when we're talking about how, like, doing semantics, when we've done it in previous series or, like, webinars that we've done, that part of the process of doing semantics is, like, refining your categories based on the data. Really, like, as opposed to, like, trying to like fit the data into your existing categories, which is kind of what, you know, like, how deponent the yeah, like, how people approach deponency initially of, like, well, these verbs don't seem to fit our category, you know, of middle, so they must be active semantically, is not the right way of doing it. But, and again, the solution is to refine the category rather than to drop it altogether.
Right. Define the category of what we, how do we understand middle, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so I would say, like, to move forward again, kind of the bottom line is, like, this is an important category of verbs. And again, like, everyone acknowledges, like, we should figure out why they only have middle form and not active. So we need, like, a term to refer to them. And, like, in a sense, it doesn't really matter whether it's deponency or not. But I think the case for deponency is that it does seem to be a category that linguists are using. And I think that makes it, you know, that's a valid reason for people in biblical studies to use it as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so an example of this is, you know, Edith Doron and Artemis Alexiadou. So these are two linguists who, we talked about Edith briefly in the series on lexical semantics, but they're working on Greek and Hebrew, the modern languages, right? Both languages have, you know, so-called deponent verbs. They're like, you know, they are leaders in the field on voice. And they call them deponent, and they just say, like, okay, they have, just define it morphologically, right? And it's totally okay, right? And so I think the issue, right, is, I mean, again, it doesn't matter. The term doesn't matter. I do think it's helpful, right, to reduce the amount of terms that we use, and to use terms that linguistics is using, right, as a field, because they are the ones that are coming up with these categories to begin with. But at the end of the day, like, what we need to do, and Campbell mentions this at the end of his chapter, is, you know, we need to figure out how, you know, voice relates to verb classes. And that really is, you know, like, that's how to solve the problem. I mean, there is a, you know, like, quote unquote solution. It is a matter of, you know, what does, I mean, again, going back to our two examples of being hungry and running, right? The both being an active voice, the issue is, right, is that you should just define active in such a way that it doesn't contribute the semantic information that the root is contributing, right? And in those cases, the root is the one contributing, you know, whether it's an event or a state, right? And so active doesn't give you that information, right? And this is a lot of what we've talked about in how we do semantics, right? If you have these kinds of minimal pairs, the conclusion is, right, that sort of information is coming from somewhere else, and in this case, it's obviously coming from the root.
Yeah. So just to reiterate, like, we agree with a lot of what Merkel and Plummer say here, and what Campbell says in his chapter, that we've made a lot of progress in the field and getting rid of that understanding of deponency being verbs that are active in meaning but middle in form, like a lot of progress in moving away from that understanding of them. And Campbell offers like helpful ways forward, and like we need to look more into like middle voice in general and what it means. And he suggests understanding how like word classes might fit into that. I don't think he uses the phrase word classes, but he gets at that as well. So we have made a lot of progress in that regard. So we just want to reiterate that. But I think the pushback that we're trying to offer is just that maybe throwing out the, maybe getting rid of the term deponency is kind of throwing out the baby with the bathwater a little bit.
Or that in and of itself is not progress.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's the, you know, that's the issue, is like, how are we progressing? Like we would really be progressing if we could come up with a definition of active voice or middle voice that fits all the data. Right.
Yeah.
And that, the problem is that the focus has been on the term deponency, but who cares? Like, we've all known all along that there is a morphological category of middle only verbs, right? And those middle only verbs, you know, are or are not true middles, right? And that totally depends on how you define middle, right? And so what we need to do is come up with definitions, you know, for these categories, right? You know, you can say subject effectiveness, right? Even something like that, it totally depends on how you define that, right? And whether that can fit all the data. But being more precise in our semantic characterizations of these things, right, is really what we need to progress.
That is all we have time for on this episode of the Biblical Languages Podcast, brought to you by Biblingo. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Okay.